सनत्कुमारो भगवान्
सनत्कुमारो भगवान्
जहाँ जात Shivakumar, Anakumar, Bhagavan,
Bhagavan,
most powerful,
Yat,
that which
Aha
said,
Adyatmikam,
spiritual advancement,
Param,
ultimate,
Yogam,
mysticism,
Tena,
by that,
Eva,
certainly,
Purusham,
Supreme Person,
Abhuja,
worships, Purushar Shabha,
the
best of human beings.
Translation,
thus the best among human beings, Maharaj Prithu, followed that path of spiritual advancement which was advised by Sanat Kumar. That is to say, he worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Therefore, in this verse, it clearly said that Maharaj Prithu practiced the pranayama yoga system, engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as advised by Saint Sanat Kumara. In this verse, the words purusham abhaja, purusharshava, are significant. Purusharshava refers to Maharaj Prithu, the best among human beings, and purusham refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conclusion is that the best man among all men engages in the service of the Supreme Person. One Purusha is worshipable and the other Purusha is the worshipper. When the Purusha who worships the living entity thinks of becoming one with the Supreme Person, he simply becomes bewildered and falls into the darkness of ignorance. As stated by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, all living entities assembled in the battlefield as well as Krishna himself were also present in the past as individuals and will continue to be in the present, to be present in the future as individuals also. Therefore, the two Purushas, the living entity, and the Supreme Personality of God, had never lose their respective identities. Actually, one who was self-realized engaged himself in the service of the Lord perfectly both in this life and in the next. Indeed, for devotees, there is no difference between this life and the next. In this life, a neophyte devotee is trained to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in the next life, he approaches the Supreme Person and by Kunta renders the same devotional service. Even for the neophyte devotee, devotional service is considered a Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. Devotional service to the Lord is never considered a material activity, since he's acting on the Brahma Buddha platform, a devotee is already liberated. He therefore has no need to practice any other type of yoga in order to approach the Brahma Buddha stage. And if the devotee adheres strictly to the orders of the spiritual master, follows rules and regulations, and chants the Hare Krishna mantra, it should be concluded that he is already at the Brahma Buddha stage, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Mamcha yoga vichare na bhakti yoga na sevate sagvanan samahita chan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who is engaged in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature, and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Maharaj Prithu thus engaged completely in devotional service, executing the rules and regulations strictly according to the principles, 24 hours a day, thus his love and devotion unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, developed, and became unflinching and fixed. Therefore, the word Bhagavad Dharmina indicates that the religious process practiced by Maharaj Prithu was beyond all pretensions, as stated in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Dharma Pochita Kaita Vatra. Religious principles are simply pretensions, are actually nothing but cheating. Bhagavad Dharmina is described by Viraragavacharya as Nivritta Dharmina, which indicates that it cannot be contaminated by material aspiration. As described by Rupa Goswami, Anyabhilasa Sunyam Jnana Karma Janavra Tam Anupayena Krishna Silanam Bhakti Uttama. When one who is not inspired by material desires, not contaminated by the processes of crude activity and pure speculation, fully engages in the favorable service of the Lord, his service is called Bhagavad Dharma, or pure devotional service. In this verse, the word Brahmani does not refer to the impersonal Brahman. Impersonal Brahman is a subordinate feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and since impersonal Brahman worshippers desire to merge into the Brahman effulgence, they cannot be considered followers of Bhagavata Dharma. After being baffled in this material enjoyment, the impersonalists may desire to merge into the existence of the Lord, but a pure devotee of the Lord has no such desire. Therefore, a pure devotee is really Bhagavata Dharma. It is clear from this verse that Maharaj, but it was never a worshipper of the impersonal Brahman, but was at all times a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavati Brahmani refers to one who is engaged in devotional service to the personality of Godhead. A devotee's knowledge of the impersonal Brahman is automatically revealed, and he is not interested in merging into the impersonal Brahman. Maharaj Pritha's activities in devotional service enabled him to become fixed and steady and discharge devotional activities without having to take recourse to karma, jnana, or yoga. Thus, the best among human beings, Maharaj Pritha, followed that path of spiritual advancement which was advised by Sanat Kumar. That is to say, he worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maharaj Pritha thus engaged completely in devotional service, executing the rules and regulations strictly according to the principles 24 hours a day. Thus his love and devotion under the Supreme Personality of God that Krishna developed and became unflinching and fixed. So in spite of the previous description of adherence to rules of vanaprastha and practice of astanga yoga, Here we see that he worshipped the Supreme Lord. And of course, that was along with his yoga and his vanaprastha practice. So he did both things. So we can call it mixed devotion in one sense, because he did both. Vanaprastha aspect is part of karma yoga, and of course the astanga yoga is another process. So it looks as if his bhakti was mixed, because he was doing bhakti, karma yoga, and astanga yoga. Of course that is not really so, because he was simply fulfilling his role just as he previously was the king. And there we can say, well, he was doing simply karma yoga, because he was acting as the king and acting like a kshatriya, etc. And a little bit of bhakti here and there. So one could say he's a karma yogi. In either case, he was simply playing a role to set example for everyone. And ultimately, as a Shakyavesh avatar, he was a great devotee of the Lord. And he was ultimately related to the Lord more than anything else. So all these activities are simply for other purposes, not because he was needed these processes for his advancement or depended on them. So he did all these activities acting as if he's following Varnashram, etc. But actually he was a devotee of the Lord. So that is made clear in these verses. Though he practiced Adhyatma Yoga, he also worshipped the Supreme Lord. And then the next verse makes it even clearer that his main object was to simply worship the Supreme Lord. In this way, we should not be confused by the apparent mixture. Actually, his real interest was simply to worship the Supreme Lord nicely. So the next verse after this says that he was practicing Bhagavad Dharma. He was one who executed Bhagavad Dharma, not Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga or Astanga Yoga. And he had great faith in that. So he had bhakti unto the Supreme Lord, unto Bhagavan. He's completely fixed upon that. Of course, this also shows the progression. And he starts out with these tapasya of
the vanaprastha, then he does the yoga, and then he concentrates more on the bhakti. So this is a traditional system, that we start with karma yoga, and go to jnana yoga, and astanga yoga, and then we go to bhakti yoga. So now he's also illustrating a certain point. The main understanding here is the ultimate goal is bhakti in any case. If we practice karma yoga, jnana yoga, or astanga yoga, ultimately once you come to bhakti. And in those other processes, of course, there's also a mixture of bhakti. Here we see that very clearly he was dedicated to the Supreme Lord. He's a Shaktivesh avatar, he's also Jiva. So therefore he never falls under the misconception that he is the Supreme Lord, even though he's called Shaktivesh avatar. So as a Jiva, he worships the Supreme Lord with great devotion. So it's just with great faith he did the worship. The word here uses ananya vishaya, his only object was the Supreme Lord. So this of course refers to ananya bhakti, or pure bhakti. So similarly in Bhagavad Gita we have such words, ananya chetasa. In Goswami's words, Anya Abhilashata Shunya, one rejects other processes and other personalities and simply worships Krishna with devotion. So that of course is the essence of the Bhagavatam, to show that pure bhakti is the best and don't mix it with the other processes, even though we see that he did all these other things as well. So ultimately he came to this level. Other argument would be, well, we're also unadvanced, so we should do this also. We should go to the karma yoga, then the jnana, then the astanga yoga, then the bhakti yoga. Because even Prithu Maharaj did this, and Bharat Maharaj did this, and all the great kings did this. So follow their example. So that's a good argument, but the counter argument to that is that in Kali Yuga, this is not recommended. Better simply worship the Supreme Lord and not engage in these other processes. So that is made very clear in the beginning of Bhagavatam in the first canto, where Vyasadeva has done all of his work of writing Puranas and encouraging people to do karma yoga according to qualification, and then Narada Muni comes and says, "That's all useless. It's not going to work in Kali Yuga. Simply tell people to do bhakti." So that is the siddhanta of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Ultimately, we depend on bhakti. So therefore it says, ananya vishaya, only the Supreme Lord as his object of worship, concentration, goal and life. So he came to the level of pure bhakti. So the other argument of course is, we're not pure bhaktas yet, so before we're pure bhaktas, then we have to do everything else again. We should mix it, because we're not on the level of purity. So one can do that, but if one mixes it, then the goal also becomes different. So that is why Rupa Goswami says, even in sadhana, it should be pure bhakti. Not just bhav bhakti or prem bhakti, when you're very elevated and detached, therefore we do pure bhakti. But when we're doing sadhana, then we mix it. We don't mix it when we're doing sadhana also. So therefore, it is definition of pure bhakti, or ananya bhakti, or uttama bhakti, it begins with sadhana. So we have shraddha, and then sadhusanga, and then we have bhajana kriya, which is sadhana bhakti. And that goes through stages of anartana, vritti, nishtaruchi, and sakti, and then we come to bhava and prema. So this sadhana bhakti is also ananya bhakti. It's called ananya bhakti. So therefore, it's not only for people on bhava and prema to do pure bhakti. It is also for people who are starting bhakti. So even then, they don't mix the bhakti. You can, but then as I said, you're likely to get different results. So it is with the pure bhakti and sadhana that we get the pure bhakti and bhava and prema. And then we can experience bhakti rasa and listen to it. And if we do the mixed bhakti, then we don't get the same result. We don't get bhakti rasa and listen to it. We get purified, definitely, and we advance, and we go to the spiritual world, etc. But the ocean of rasa is not there. So that is the difference. So, therefore, even in practice, there is ananya bhakti or uttama bhakti. So in practice, it means that still we have anarthas, material desires, or whatever, but we don't resort to other types of worship. We don't resort to other processes. At least that much we don't do. And that way it is ananya. Some places we'll see people do other things. So other processes, they worship other deities and other things also, devatas and whatever, and they mix it. So ananya bhakti is no. We simply worship the Supreme Lord. So that is the main point here.
No, we are talking about Bhakti, we have to go beyond sensual, mental, transcendental, and then come to the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond the sensual, mental,
it's all material
transcendental,
things.
Then spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
So the transcendental means we have transcend the three modes of material nature.
Well, we can say Brahma Bhuta. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, beyond that is Bhakti.
Spiritual.
Yeah, because Brahma Bhuta means Brahman. And devotee's not interested in Brahman also. He's interested in Supreme Lord, Bhagavan.
What is the word between the Krishna and the eternal truth, absolute truth?
Yeah.
So what is the difference between eternal and absolute?
Eternal means going on forever, no beginning, no end. Absolute truth. Of course it has a rather vague meaning in one sense. Usually you don't see that word used in Sanskrit, absolute truth. You can say supreme perhaps, supreme Lord maybe we can say. Unless you want to simply say Brahman is absolute truth in the sense that it is unaffected by material world. So absolute truth actually is not used in Sanskrit. We don't have a word for that. Yeah, just truth. Tattva darshana. Tattva. Sees the truth. Truth. He sees things as they are. Tattva. Truth as opposed to not seeing things as they are. Illusion.
Spiritual is higher than the truth.
What's that?
Spiritual.
Well, there's various levels,
yeah,
of truth. There's Brahman, it's also true.
Yeah,
and then there's Paramatma and there's Bhagavan. Different levels. So the devotees are interested in Bhagavan, not Paramatma or Brahman.
What do you think about Bhagavan, Paramatma and...
Well, it's all absolute. It's all spiritual. Yeah, but the devotee is not interested in the Brahman and Paramatma aspects, only in Bhagavan. The yogis will be interested in Paramatma, and the jnanis will be interested in Brahman.
Well, you mentioned one
of
the pure devotees
service
really
sadhana
bhakti.
What's that?
One of the pure devotees service really
sadhana
bhakti.
Yeah.
The form may not be pure.
Yeah, well, he's got an artist, but he is not worshipping devatas. He's not doing karma yoga, jnana yoga, and astanga yoga. That's, in that sense, it's pure.
And you say guru means the key of the truth.
What's that?
When you say guru means, the definition of guru means the seer of the truth.
Well, tapadarshana means seer of the truth. Guru means heavy.
Heavy in terms of knowledge.
Or heavy or significant, or it means teacher, of course. Guru means teacher. Conventional sense. Well, yeah, Purusharshava means the best of Purushas, best of humans. Narottama, of course, again, it's exalted, you know, the best of humans, best among men. Similar meaning. Well, we can say out of, since he's Shaktivashavatara, he doesn't have to do anything. and then he has all abilities. So he does this, he set an example for others that one should follow with vidis, according to the, just like the whole Varnashram system is based on vidis. And Vaidhi Bhakti is based on vidis also. So, and even Raghunuga has vidis as far as sadhana is concerned. So, therefore, he was not acting like he was beyond rules and regulations because he was practicing. So that, of course, was for showing the common people. Ultimately, he doesn't have to do any of this.
You said the Vanaprastha, observing karma yoga. Vanaprastha.
Yeah, it's Varnashram.
Yeah,
yeah, karma yoga.
But they are beyond the karma yoga, isn't it?
Huh?
They are beyond the karma
yoga.
No,
it's part of varna and ashram. Ashram is part of the vana process, one ashrama.
Yeah.
So that's part of karma yoga.
Karma yoga.
Yeah. Ashram, varna ashram. It's an ashrama.
Varna ashram means social. Ashram means spiritual.
Yeah. No, well, yeah, but still, the Varnashram system is karma yoga. Brahmins take sannyas, and the others take vanaprastha, and sutras don't take. So all of this is regulated by Varnashram system, which is part of karma yoga. So if you're a sutra, you cannot take vanaprastha, for instance. So this is part of karma yoga system. Yeah, it uses the words interchangeably a lot. Vaikuntha simply means spiritual world. It depends. If you worship Krishna, you go to Goloka. If you worship Vishnu, you go to Vaikuntha. Not really, no. Yeah. Even the Kumaras, you know, they're preaching Jnana, but ultimately they're devotees of the Lord also. They have a realization of the Lord in Shantarasa, but they preach Jnana.
அப்புறம் கொட்டாய்க்கு எங்க விட்டுட்டு வருவாருன்னு சொல்லுவாங்க.